Am I on? Yeah, okay. I thought I turned it on. I must not got it on the whole way. I love the people over there, and it is good to minister to them. Oh, it's no place like home, though. When we come home, this is, America is unique. And I am blessed to be a part of it and to be with its people, and especially the brothers and sisters in Christ that I get to enjoy today and for the hopefully the rest of my life. So we're going to start out today. This weekend, many people will be celebrating Independence Day in a variety of ways. Some will travel to see loved ones, and others will just stay home and be with family. That'll be me today. There will be fireworks, picnics, parades, and all kinds of celebrations that have become traditional in America. We celebrate this holiday because of what happened in 1776. The 13 colonies united together and declared its independence from Great Britain. We celebrate the actions of people we only know about because of books. Unless one of you are older than I think. We only know this information from books. We have not talked to anyone personally. We celebrate the actions of these people who lived without electricity, no regular mail service, no TV, no cell phones, no internet, and not even a super Walmart. Man, a simple existence these people had, and still they were willing to fight for it. We celebrate that these people had the gumption, the audacity, and the courage to break the existing hold of Great Britain on these colonies. Why did they want to become independent? If you read, especially in the Declaration of Independence, the document says you will find these. You will find abuse, you will find the removal of rights, corrupt justice, and unwarranted punishment. You will find a precisely stated set of charges against the King of England for their justification for independence. They were once again actually in slavery. Their declaration was to break free of a strangling hold of a tyrant. Today, we get to celebrate the ideal of the prize that was worth so much of their time, their energy, and even their lives. So what is this in comparison with our Christianity? Let us all turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 says this. So I'm reading from that New Living Translation. So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. Let us scroll down a little bit to verse 13. It says, for you have been called to live in freedom. My brothers and sisters, you don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. But if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying each other. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. The Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under the obligation of the law of Moses. This scripture this morning is talking about freedom. This passage is about the Mosaic Law. The law is described in Scripture as being something that helped us identify what sin truly is and how to live a life that is honoring to God. However, too many people, and especially religious leaders, use the law as a tool of control. They used it for power and position and separation. Paul declares freedom from the law. He tells the churches in Galatia that they are called by God through Jesus to be free. The people of Paul's day suffered persecution and hardship, which increased as they became Christians. The community made it tough to live a life of the new faith. And it had to be hard to celebrate the freedom that Paul told them about and encouraged them about. They had already broken their old traditions. They were trying to figure out the ins and outs of this new faith. They had lots of questions and pressures to give into, and it appears in the scriptures as we read up further that the logic was that they had to become a Jew to become a Christian. The pressure was to live under the law as first concern. They thought they had to be a Jew before they could become a Christian. And to become a Jew, you had to be joined to the law to follow the law. And those that followed the law, once again, would find themselves guilty and find themselves that they needed a Savior, then they would become a Christian. But Paul said you did not have to do this. He insisted this is not true. Paul taught that Jesus, God's Son, who fulfilled the law perfectly, was approved by the Father. So he sacrificed his life to pay our debt for disobeying the law and was resurrected so he could become high priest and king of God's kingdom, so that those who put their faith and pledge their allegiance to him would be free from the law and free to serve God through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. How many of you have ever tried to go a day without sinning? Anybody ever try that? I tried that. You know, it wasn't too long I found that I failed. I can't do it. Because not only not doing wrong, but also thinking wrong. And so it is more than abstaining from doing things. It's abstaining from thinking of doing things wrong. And on top of that, the other thing said, if you know to do good and do not do good, here's where it catches us all, and don't do it. It is sin. So when we are told to do sin by the Holy Spirit and don't fulfill it, it is sin to us. So it is impossible for us ever to escape sin. But thank God Jesus came so that we do not have to be bound by the law but set free. Hindsight is good. Today we can look back at United States history and find the investment made by people so long ago was worth it. It is great to be free. Say amen if you agree. Amen. There's a lot of people out there today that think America is no good. But let me tell you, I've been in a couple countries, and let me tell you, America is the best I've seen so far. And we have issues. I agree. But America by far is still the greatest country in the world. It is fantastic that I can pretty much do what I want and say what I want. You know, some freedom of speech, we take it for granted. There's people and countries that cannot speak what they have on their minds. They can't even speak what they truly believe in their hearts. They gotta hide in underground caves and hide in places that people can't find them so that they can live the life that they believe God called them to. the first sentence in the Declaration of Independence is a whopper. It tells us that when a governing power no longer upholds natural laws for humanity that God has given them, that they must declare their reason and separate from those governing power. Do you realize God gave us that authority through our will to give up the things that have power over us? And since Jesus came, we have greater power yet, so that we can declare independence from Satan and the kingdom of darkness, to say that we no longer are serving you, but we are serving Jesus Christ. That's freedom. Those that do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, do you know, cannot experience that freedom. They are always will be bound in by Satan in the kingdom of darkness. They cannot not do wrong. Sin is always overpowering them. Just like the Lord said to Cain, sin is crouching at your doorstep. It's there. But with Christ, we have power to overcome by the Holy Spirit. The second sentence of the Declaration of Independence says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with uncertain, inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. 235 years later, we still get to enjoy the freedoms that the Declaration of Independence created for us. 235 years later, we still are enjoying the freedoms that our forefathers fought to give us. That is amazing. Do you realize a lot of countries have come and gone during 235 years? But God has blessed America. And we should be very thankful for the blessing that He continues to bless us with. This is my kind of place. I am so happy that God placed me here. There are a lot of less comfortable places in the world where there is little or no freedom at all. Places where life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness are just a fairy tale. There's nothing that can be attained. It's just a fairy tale to them. For some on this planet, the biggest goal is just to have life. And there is little hope of anything else other than just living, having an existence. However, there are still a few problems even here in the United States. I'm not complaining, but we still have a lot of rules in this country. We have traffic laws, home mortgages, traffic lights, speed limits, income tax, building codes, lines at the grocery stores, and we still even need money. Hey, there's a lot of things. We could go on and on with a lot of problems we have concerning this country, but God has blessed us that we can have the opportunity to utilize and use all these things. It seems to me that freedom comes with a lot of other things that may seem to steal away our freedom. A lot of people today think, well, we're not really free. Well, we are free. But they say, well, we ain't free to say anything and everything we want is free, or free to do everything and everything. Well, we must understand, just because we have freedom, it doesn't mean we can impose our freedom on others. But the freedom we receive is cooperative. It is a union of people agreeing to protect God's given right at a cost that is shared by the group. The freedom we enjoy in America was not obtainable by one or two people. In the Revolutionary War, that many fought to make something new for them and for the future generations. The freedom we receive has limits that keep us from expressing our freedoms at the expense of others. But let us look at this from a Christian perspective. We live in the greatest country in the world. the richest country, the finest country, and seemingly the most blessed country. In our scriptures today, Paul tells the church of Galatia that they were meant to be free. And the church is always, that was God's design from the beginning, even from the garden, to be free. Free from slavery to sin. Free from the obligation to keep the law, which is impossible to keep. However, even Paul explains that with freedom, there are still rules and limits. He states in verse 13 of Galatians 5, "Do not use your freedom to indulge the desires of the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love." We cannot use our freedoms to become immoral people. We cannot behave just any way we want. We have to behave in a right way that is honoring and pleasing to God. Especially if we are children of God, we are called to be holy as He is holy. Also, we cannot use our freedom to abuse or mistreat other people. Just because we're free doesn't mean we can enslave people or treat them wrongly, or even something that we do and we don't even recognize it as harmful is slander one another. It is, Paul speaks of that very often in his epistles about slandering, and we get rid of that so that good things come out of this mouth, so it builds others up. We cannot also use our freedoms to avoid the obligations inside or outside the church. We have obligations to one another, and we must once again hold them up. We also cannot use our freedoms to sit around and do nothing at all. We were created to do something. We are doing a session on our calling on Wednesdays, and we have found out just this past Wednesday that God created us all with a purpose. And that purpose is something that we are set out to find what God created us for, so that we can find full satisfaction in life. Apart from knowing what God has created us for, there is no satisfaction. So as we continue to go forth finding why we were created, we see that our freedom is to do something so that it brings glory and honor to God. Our freedom is not a license to sin in any way at all, but to serve by doing good to one another. Sounds like a limited version of freedom, doesn't it? It might seem restrictive, but we have to realize that the cost is not expensive at all. After all, the people in church, or a lot of people even around us, are family by natural birth or family by spiritual birth. We're all related in this building here. If we know Jesus Christ, we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. We do not do things, we all do things we do not necessarily like for family. Amen? But we do them occasionally to keep peace in the family and also to show the compassion of God to those around us. I know one thing I hate doing is throwing my laundry down the chute. I like taking my clothes off whenever I'm in the bathroom and letting them lay there. Well, my wife doesn't quite agree with that. So, and she says, "How hard is it?" Because I put a chute in. It's not even 5 feet away from where I take my clothes off. It's just around the side of the wall. And all I got to do is put it down the chute. And she keeps questioning me, how hard is it to put your clothes down that chute? But I struggle with that, but I eventually get to it because I love her. And I also have learned that when I listen to her say that, I, for some reason, magically end up with clean clothes in my drawers. I mean, that is amazing how that works. So I know that since I may not be free to let my clothes pile up to great heaps in the bathroom, but I also understand that if I sacrifice the expense of putting them down, I get free clean clothes in my drawers. Amen to that. So praise God. Now we get to the second rule here in verse 14. The entire law is summed up in a single command, Paul said. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is that love your neighbor thing again. Man, we hear that quite often. It starts in Leviticus in the Bible, and then Jesus quotes it in the Gospels. Then Peter, Paul, James, and John remind us again in the epistles about loving your neighbor. Sort of a pain to us at times, doesn't it? Because we keep repetitiously hearing it. To be reminded of, hey, love your neighbor, love your neighbor. My son, whenever I tell him about scripture over and over, he says, Dad, I already know it. I understand. But sometimes we need to realize we need to do more of it. We may know it, but sometimes we got to, you know, scripture says, work out your salvation. Sometimes we got to get it from here to here to out to here so that it is seen. So we got to allow God to work in us so that we can express our freedoms to those around us in love. Perhaps we need to take these reminders as an extra significance of importance that God is trying to tell us. I just said, I think it might have been Wednesday night when somebody just said, oh, yes, it was Wednesday night. I said to one of the individuals that said, the Lord says, be still and know that I'm God. She says, you know, that's the second time I heard that. I said, it's kind of like whenever Jesus said, verily, verily in the Bible. When you hear something twice, God says, I want you to take notice. Listen up. Pay attention. So when you get God reminding you more than once on something, he's trying to get you to take notice of something that he wants you to implement or to share with someone. So take heed on that. Here, Paul reminds us that this one rule replaces the entire law. One rule. This one rule is followed, if followed, will set your life on an even footing in the right direction. This one rule will set you free of all the little nuances and petty restrictions of the law. One rule instead of 100. One. Jesus said it hangs from these. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, and all your soul. The second is like, love your neighbor as yourself. He said, all the laws hang from that. Jesus has given us two rules to follow. How difficult can that be? If you listen to the Pharisees, they had hundreds of rules. Hundreds. I like following just two. It's much easier. Much easier. My son, he went to the academy to be a cop for a short period of time. He bring a book. I bet you it was this thick, probably about this big, with all kinds of the law. All the different laws they had. It had to be thousands in there. I said, how are you supposed to remember that? He says, you ain't going to remember them all. You remember the ones you use the most. But he says, you carry that book with you. So it is amazing that the Lord, he knew that it would be too much for us. So he gives us two simple laws, and they both are based on love. Love God and love others. Loving your neighbor as yourself. What does that really mean? Well, how do we demonstrate loving ourselves? When we are hungry, what do? We go out to the refrigerator, grab something to eat. We ask our wife, maybe, if she will, make us something to eat. Or we go down to a local restaurant and grab something to eat. We fill our bodies so that we are take care of our hunger appetite. If we are thirsty, what do? We go to the refrigerator, or like my son Bear, you say, "Hun, get me a drink." I love it because I tease him about that all the time. Next, if we are sick, we go to the doctor, go to a pharmacy to get medication to make us better. We do whatever is necessary to meet our needs. When we decide to go place, we take our cars to be able to get or meet our needs. I guess there are a lot of things I do for myself. Some are needs, some are wants, and some are desires. But I am worth them all, right? At least in my mind, I think I am. Then according to Paul, our neighbors are also worth something. With freedom comes obligations to our family, community, and neighbor, and even individuals along the way. We are to help them to meet their needs of hunger, thirst, sickness, and so on, whatever it is. There's many needs each of us have. A lot of us just need a friend to lean on. Some of us need prayer. Some of us just need to know that people care. The people in Ethiopia, when they come, when we left, there was tears in eyes. And I'm talking about grown individuals. I'm not talking about the little kids. The little kids definitely missed us. But when you see tears in an adult, you move something in their heart. And that is what we need to do in each other's lives and in the lives God puts in our path. Meet them to a point that they see Jesus. Paul is writing to people that are in the middle of the battle over salvation. They do not have the advantage of hindsight. They are fighting their way toward the path of righteousness and are uncertain of the proper steps. Some of their issues are raised within the church itself. There must be spirited conversations and charges between fellow believers as they struggle with the freedom that Paul reminds them of. We're going to have struggles. Jesus said you will have trouble. And he's talking to the church, his disciples. We're going to have troubles. But he also said, "Fear not, I have overcome the world." We put our trust in him, and that is what is so significant about prayer. Us believers get to come alongside those that are struggling through the issues in life to be able to help them be encouraged and strengthened so that they can endure and persevere to the end and be saved as Christ called us. We all need help at one time or another in our lives. So let us plant seeds now in helping others. The main struggle is to try to live under the opposition of the law, oppression of the law, in hope that it would get better, or choose the freedom that Jesus offered us in that God has offered us in Jesus Christ. You want to try to do it on your own or by fulfilling the law? Or do you want to try to trust God through Christ that he has already fulfilled everything for it to be able to stand in right standing with God? We already have said over here, when we try to fulfill the law, we fail. It's impossible. But it is not impossible to put trust in Jesus Christ. It may become weak at some times, but with friends and with reading the Word, our faith is strengthened so that we can remain faithful to Him because He has been faithful. Our forefathers in this nation recognized their lives were on the edge of slavery to the king. Without no rights, no self-government, and more loss of control over their lives, this led them to declare their freedom against the all-powerful King of England. They did not declare war on the king. They declared that they would no longer serve him as a servant to an unjust king. They changed their direction from choosing the harder path by choosing the harder path of independence, a path of struggle and pain that would end in freedom like few in the colonies ever known. Being free from the law is scary because you put your... We are humans that are constantly looking to justify ourselves by the righteous things we do. But Scripture says our righteousness is as filthy rags before God. If we are trying to get right with God by obeying all the law and can't, when we disobey one, the Scripture says it's like disobeying the whole law. And control to listen to the Spirit. It even takes more to follow His direction. But we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. Galatians, I'm going to close with this. Galatians 5:6 says this. For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or being uncircumcised. Which means there's no benefit in trying to fulfill the whole law. What is important? Catch this. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. Love shows. Jesus said, they will know you are my disciples by your love. How we love one another shows everyone else around us that we are connected with Him. And when we are joined with Christ, there is nothing that can separate us. So I put, let us show our freedom through Christ by loving God and by loving one another. Glory to God who has set us free from the kingdom of darkness and translated us into the marvelous kingdom of light of His dear Son, Jesus Christ. I praise God that He has set us free and He wants us to stay free. If we do not make an effort to continually stay walking faithfully with Christ, Satan will come and rob from us what we have been freely given. Freedom is not free. It comes with a price. The price for freedom of America cost many soldiers their lives. The price for the freedom of our salvation cost Jesus Christ His life. And with that, we need to continue to always bring glory and honor to Him. Is Mike here? I don't see him yet. What? Okay. They're going to sing a song for me. We want to end up with one song. Do you got that song, son? Okay. You want to pray it or you want him to pray it? Oh, okay. Thank you. when Jesus was against Satan in the wilderness, he said, "It is written." He declared what the scriptures say. And we just read this morning in Galatians 5:1 that in Christ we are set free. When we sing this song, we need to sing it, letting Satan know that we are free. And letting ourselves realize that we are free and going to stay free by remaining faithful to Christ.
Thank you, team. I appreciate it.
It is a blessing to be free in Christ. Declare it. At this time, could I have the ushers that wish to take up communion that want to come up here? Gentlemen, you may have to grab. Tom, could you please help them? Well, it's all together. I'm not sure. Well, I don't think it may not. Won't you just pass that back and forth? I think it's probably going to be. You think it'll be enough? Bear here. Come, you will just do it. I'd rather have too much than not enough. Today is a very appropriate day to do communion because, as Jesus said, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. What a wonderful thing to remember our freedom, not only in America, but our freedom spiritually, away from sin and the power of sin and death. So as we partake together here, let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we now take this emblem of bread, Lord, that is your body that has been broken for us. Lord, you have given it to us so that you may identify with us, Lord, and so that we may once again come under you and your loving compassion that the Father has given you by believing that your body has been given for us as a token of the Father's love. We thank you for this. Everyone, let's take of the emblem. Thank you, Lord. I'm not as skilled at this here. What am I doing wrong? Oh, okay, there. This blood, let's bow our heads again. Dear Heavenly Father, this blood is the token of the blood of Jesus Christ, the new covenant. It was the blood that was shed for us, shed that we might have life and have it abundantly through Jesus Christ. Father, this is the freedom once again that allows us to stand in right standing with you, Lord, justified because this blood has power in it. So, Father, we thank you that the power in the blood has cleansed us from every sin, every stain, and presented us before your throne without spot, without wrinkle, into your glorious presence. So, Father, we thank you for this. We ask this in Jesus' name. Let us partake the cup together. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, I thank each and every one of you today for coming. I just encourage that as we go throughout the day and we see our freedom and continue to celebrate this weekend, let us remember not only are we celebrating independence of America, but celebrate our dependence on Jesus Christ. Amen. It is that what once again allows us to remain free so that we can sing that song, I am free.
Yes.
Declare it. Let those around you to know today that you are free because of what Jesus has done. I thank you. Let's just bow our heads one last time. Dear Heavenly Father, take your people today, Lord, out into highways and byways, then to share and show the light and love of Jesus Christ wherever they go. May your hand be with them. May your Holy Spirit empower them that they may be able to share the gospel with those that may not know it and be able to allow them to come to know and to share the life that you have given them in Jesus Christ. So, Father, we thank you and ask your blessing upon your children. And all God's people said, amen.
Amen.
Be blessed.
We do have a birthday. I didn't get a chance earlier. But I didn't want to break the spirit. But we have at least one birthday. Shelby, is anybody else?
It is Linda back here. We're going to do it again. Go ahead.
Okay.
We're going to have good singers now.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Every day of the year. May you feel Jesus still. Happy birthday to you. Oh, happy birthday to you.
Praise God. Be blessed, and we will see you Wednesday or next Sunday. Enjoy. Happy Independence Day. Amen.